First, I want to tell you the story of two men who were walking through a field one day when they spotted an enraged bull. Instantly, they darted towards the nearest fence. The storming bull followed in hot pursuit, and it was soon apparent that they wouldn't make it. Terrified, one fellow shouted to the other, "Put up a prayer, John. We're in for it." And John answered, "I can't. I've never made a public prayer in my life." "But your father is a pastor. Surely he taught you some prayer. So pray, John, pray. The bull is catching up to us." "All right," panted John. "I'll say the only prayer I know, one that my father used to repeat at the table. Oh, Lord, for what we are about to receive, make us truly thankful." We are today, friends, to give thanks. Hopefully, not only to give thanks, but to feel thankful. Some of us don't feel thankful. We feel anxious. We feel concerned. We feel distressed. We feel worried. We feel like the bulls of life are catching up to us. Some of you have had tremendous setbacks, perhaps even a tragedy, and it's hard to give thanks. Some of you have had serious illness in your own life, or perhaps the life of one of your family members, and it's hard to give thanks. Some of us have had loved ones pass away, so it's hard to give thanks. Some of us have had financial struggles due to unemployment and so on, and it's hard to give thanks. Some of us have had relationship problems, and it's hard to give thanks. But let me say in the same breath, friends, Satan doesn't want our hearts to be free to thank God for the blessings. Satan does not want us to have a celebration of faith, but rather he wants our hearts to be damaged by fear and worry. Our lives are filled with worry. I was telling the folk at the church, I'm a champion warrior too. I'm not condescending when I'm saying this. We worry about stuff. The English word for worry comes from an old Anglo-Saxon word, which means to strangle, to strangle. What an apt description of it, the emotional pain we feel when we worry or are afraid. What is strangled is peace, our peace of mind. And the only way we can recapture peace of mind and peace of heart and soul, even in the midst of tribulations and trials, it involves being thankful, friends. Stop living in fear. I'm talking to myself now, not you. Stop living in fear and worry, because it causes us to complain about stuff. Complaining is the arch enemy of thanksgiving. The two cannot exist in the same heart. Dr. Dale Robbins writes, "I used to think people complained because they had a lot of problems. But I've come to realize they have problems because they complain. Complaining doesn't change anything or make situations better. It amplifies frustrations, spreads discontent and discord, and can invoke an invitation for the devil to cause havoc in our lives. Complaining makes us miserable. Sometimes, you know, we dread asking some people, how are you doing? Because they just unleash one complaint and it's just like, okay, enough already. Sorry, I won't ask you, how are you doing again? Just that's just a joke, friends. So what is your Thanksgiving like? Is it joy and gratitude? Or is it worry and anxiety? I love what Paul said to the letter to the Philippian church. Philippians 4, verse 7, 4 to 7. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Paul was always saying that we need to be giving thanks to God. In 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 18, he wrote, give thanks in all circumstances. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Paul urged us, friends, to pray constantly. He told us to include different kinds of prayer. In one, it's not on your screen. So in 1 Timothy 1, 2 verse 1, he says, I urge then, first of all, that petitions and prayers and intercessions and prayers of thanksgiving be made for all people. That we should always move from a place of thankfulness and gratitude, friends, in our lives. Thanksgiving is not for today or tomorrow. Thanksgiving is for every day. It's an attitude of gratitude that we need to develop. And before you can say, well, it's easy for Brother Paul to give thanks because he was a spiritual giant and he had everything simple. Think again, friends. We're going to talk about Paul later. But what I want to talk about today and is why it is important for us to develop a heart of gratitude. The first point I want to make is this. We have to develop. In other words, it doesn't just automatically arrive on you. We have to constantly develop a heart of gratitude because it creates contentment. It creates contentment, friends. Many suffer from a disease some have called affluenza. It is a virus of affluency and prosperity. Listen, I am not against money, friends. We all need money to live. But there are many people, millions of people, who only are concerned with prosperity and wealth and material things that don't really satisfy. They only create a desire in us for more. We want more. For example, have you noticed some of the stars on TV and in the movies? Many of them are addicted to alcohol and drugs, and they have it all. They have all the things. I was reading that a fellow by the name of Arnold Schwarzenegger, he has 10 Hummers, you know, those big things. He has $1 million worth of yachts and mansions and so on, all right? These things, friends, you could have them, and yet there is an emptiness deep down inside of people that they are trying to fill all the time. There is a hunger that cannot, they have a hunger they cannot satisfy, and a thirst that they cannot quench. Now, in contrast to this, Listen to the words of Paul as he describes what his life was like. We think it was easy life, soft life, bed of roses. But listen to 2 Corinthians 11, verse 24 to 27. He said, 5 times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus one. I was lashed, friends, 39 times. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was pelted with stones. 3 times I was shipwrecked. I spent a day and a night, or a night and a day, in the open sea, just floating around waiting to be rescued. I've been constantly on the move. I've been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my fellow Jews, in danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, in danger from false believers. I have labored and toiled and have often gone without sleep. I have known hunger and thirst and have often gone without food. I have been cold and naked. And besides everything else, I face daily the pressure of my concerns for all the churches. Do you think this guy had a soft life? That's why he's telling us, hey guys, come on, pray, be thankful, be thankful. No. He was the one who wrote in 1 Thessalonians 5:18. He says, give thanks in all circumstances. He meant that we should be thankful when things are going great. But we should also be thankful when things are not going our way. And you know, just suddenly this thought came to me that our new building, you know, there's no more money, friends, right? But I'm so grateful for that building. You got to go. I can meet you there and give you a tour of that building. I'm grateful for what God is doing there and for the work that has been done. I'm grateful for that. You say, but it's not finished, Keith. But I'm grateful for where it is. And I'm grateful to you for every penny you gave towards that project. I am thankful to God for you, friends. Paul was saying, come on, good times and bad. And listen what he says in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 8 to 10. He says, listen, man, guys. He says, come on now. We are hard pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, oh, you bet, but not in despair. We are persecuted, but not abandoned. We are struck down, but not destroyed. We carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. Amen. Paul's life was filled with many difficulties which he could complain about. How many of us, friends, would put up with constant stress and confusion and persecution and beatings that leave deep scars in our lives and in our bodies and still maintain a positive attitude? But Paul had learned the important secret of life. Listen what he says in Philippians 4, verse 11 to 13. I am not saying this, he said, because I am in need. For I have learned to be content. Got it? Whatever the circumstances, I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do everything through Him who gives me strength. I've learned the secret, he says, of not living life based on conditions around me. He could be content in prison or at home, he's saying. He said, I could be content wherever I am, in whatever circumstance I'm found. His happiness was not based on situations. It was based on his relationship with Jesus Christ. That's the difference, friends. That is the difference. And so Paul always operated from a place of gratitude, from a heart of thanksgiving. The Scottish minister, Alexander White, was known for his uplifting prayers from the pulpit. He always found something for which to be grateful. One Sunday morning, the weather was really bad, terrible weather. That one church member thought to himself, certainly the preacher won't think of anything for which to thank the Lord on this wretched day like this. Much to his surprise, Pastor Alexander White began by praying, "We thank thee, O Lord, that it is not always like this." Isn't that something? I know of a fellow that when it's minus whatever year in Smoky Lake, and I say, "Oh, isn't it cold?" He says, "But I'm thankful there's no mosquitoes." We can always be thankful for something, friends. Isn't that true? Let me tell you another story. I didn't want to tell you. I actually scratched it out. There's a story from Budapest about a man who goes to the rabbi and complains. "Life is unbearable," he said. "There are 9 of us living in a single bedroom. What can I do?" The rabbi answered him, "Take a goat into the room with you." The man was thinking, "Man, this is crazy," but the rabbi insisted. "Do as I say and come back in a week." A week later, the man comes back looking more distraught than before. "We cannot stand it," he tells the rabbi. "The goat is filthy." The rabbi then tells him, "Go home and let the goat out and come back in a week." The radiant man returns to the rabbi a week later, exclaiming, "Life is beautiful. We enjoy every minute of it now that there's no goat and only 9 of us." We got to be thankful, friends. Hey? God is saying, listen what God is saying to you today. Don't wait to be happy. Don't wait to be content. Don't postpone happiness until your situation changes or you have acquired a certain thing. If you cannot be happy now, you will not be happy then. For happiness is not a matter of what you have or what situation you're in. It is a matter of who you are and how you respond to life. It is found within you. And unless it's on the inside, friends, all the things of the world on the outside will not make a difference. If you have been saying, "I'll be happy when," then you will never be happy. Because when that condition is met, there will be a dozen more conditions to take its place. If you cannot learn to be happy now, you will never learn to be happy in spite of how much you have or achieve. If you are not content with less, you will not be content with more. Many people, friends, live in a world of if only. If only I had this. If only things were different. If only I could do that. If only I could go there. But the Bible says it's not on your screen. In 1 Timothy 6, verse 6, you read, but godliness with contentment is great gain. I love what Jesus said. He was saying that that contentment comes from seeking a relationship with God, not with things. Matthew 6, verse 33. We learned it when we were small, but it's there. Jesus said, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And then, you know, all those things shall be added to you. In the world, we've reversed it, friends. Eh? We want to add those things, and then we might live a godly life, and then we might serve God and seek his kingdom. That's not where thankfulness generates from, friends. It comes from a heart that has the perspective. Seeking first the kingdom of God, living rightly before God. And you know those things you certainly wanted? You know what? You will realize that they're not all that important anymore. But nevertheless, they could be added to you. It is our relationship with God that is the source of contentment. And nothing else can take its place. Somebody said it so rightfully. They said, if people are not happy with what they have, why do they want more of it? A person, our contentment, friends, comes from the fact that we are linked to the eternal. You know, we seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness. We are linked with the eternal. Therefore, we know we have a heavenly Father who cares for us. The Bible says in Hebrews 13, verse 5, keep your lives free from the love of money. He's not saying keep your lives free from money. We all need this money. But he's saying, don't be caught up with just loving and getting more and more and more. That's not what it is. The Hebrew writer says, keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have, because God has said, never will I leave you. Isn't that awesome? Never will I forsake you. I love that, friends. I love what Peter said in 1 Peter 5, verse 7. He said, cast all your anxiety on him. Why? Because he cares for you. I want to just talk briefly that a heart of gratitude is developed. We have to develop it, friends, because it creates contentment. I want to say, secondly, we have to develop a heart of gratitude because it generates joy. It generates joy. A man listed the things he was thankful for one Thanksgiving. He called his list, what I have. A gracious God, a loving wife, a healthy family, an abundant life, a meaningful vocation. Friends, I have today, I have opportunities to grow in grace, knowledge, and experience. And his list went on and on and on and on. It's important to take time to remember these things because it generates joy. I bet you, if I ask you to write a list of what you are thankful for, without saying a word to me, I will see the smile on your face, because the joy will come oozing out when you see what God has done for you. Thanksgiving reminds us of what we have and who gave it to us. Thanksgiving takes our minds off our wants and focuses our minds on our blessings. Thanksgiving gives our hands a rest from labor and allows us to lift them in praise. Thanksgiving gives our minds a rest of thinking about our problems and lets us remember how few problems we have and how few our needs we really have. And all of this thankfulness generates joy in us, friends. Listen, someone said, I am really content until I start looking through the catalogs of different stores. Someone said, I like my car until I saw the new Ford Fusion. Someone said, I am satisfied with my clothes until I stroll through the bay at the mall. Someone said, I love my house until I think of what it would be like to own a log cabin by the lake. Someone said, I am satisfied with every area of my life until I start comparing with someone else's life. Someone said, I feel like I have enough of everything until I see someone who has more. And in the process of all these things, friends, your joy is stolen from you. When you lose gratitude, when you stop moving from a place of thankfulness or thanksgiving, your joy is gone. One more thing. We have to develop a heart of gratitude because it stimulates sharing. It stimulates giving. When I was preaching way back, I was just remembering it. I shared when I was talking about unity. I gave you this illustration. I want to give it again. It's an article from the Reader's Digest. It's called, What Good is a Tree? I know people like Sharon, they remember these stories, eh? And many of you too. The article said that when roots of trees in the forest touch each other, there's a root coming from one tree and another tree, and when they touch each other, there is a substance created which makes it possible for all of the trees to survive. A special fungus grows which helps link the roots of different trees, even of dissimilar species. A whole forest may be linked together in this way. If one tree has access to water, another to nutrients, and another to sunlight, the trees have a means to share with one another. Isn't that marvelous? And that is the picture of what we should be like as we experience our life together here on earth, having a mutual support and a mutual sharing, friends. God blesses us with gifts. The Bible says in James 1, verse 17, every good and perfect gift is from above. It comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Friends, we are content. We are happy because we are a people of hope. We are a people of hope because we have God who cares. And out of gratitude, we feel towards him and his faithfulness and his goodness, we share the blessings with each other. But that comes from a grateful heart, a heart of gratitude, a heart of thanksgiving. In conclusion, having a heart of gratitude is an act of faith. It means you are unafraid to live and be happy because you have faith in God who cares for you and who provides for you. He is faithful and his promises are true. He never fails. And because you have a relationship with this wonderful God, you have contentment, you have joy, and you have a desire to share and pass it on. To trust is to thank. It creates a heart of gratitude. Friends, listen. Be thankful for that you don't already have everything you want. If you did, what would be there to look forward to? Be thankful that you don't know everything. It gives you an opportunity to learn. Be thankful for the different or the difficult times. During those times, you grow. Be thankful for your limitations, because they give you opportunities for improvement. Be thankful for each new challenge, because it will build strength and character. Be thankful for your mistakes. They will teach you valuable lessons. Be thankful when you are tired and weary, because it means you've made a difference. Thanking God is a witness to the world that we look to God for our help. I have read recently, if you own one Bible, you are abundantly blessed because a third of the world do not have access to a Bible. If you awoke this morning with more health than illness, you are more blessed than a million people who died this past week. If you have never experienced the danger of war, the loneliness of imprisonment, the agony of torture, or the pangs of starvation, you are more fortunate than 500 million people on earth. If you have food in your refrigerator, clothes on your back, a roof over your head, $20 in your pocket, and a place to sleep, you are richer than, listen, 75% of the world. Friends, I know you are a very grateful people. Thank you. Thankfulness, gratitude creates contentment, it generates joy, and it stimulates sharing. But it all starts when we have our relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Be strong in the Lord. Don't let thankfulness and gratitude be for today, Sunday, and tomorrow, Thanksgiving Day. Let thankfulness and gratitude be for every day. I'm talking to myself, hey, not you. Let gratitude be in your heart every day, friends. So when you sit down for your Thanksgiving meal, some of you are going to enjoy it today. I think some of you only got your family together last night, and so you had your Thanksgiving meal last night. Some of you today, some of you tomorrow, that's okay. Take time to thank God for his many, many blessings. And as Paul encouraged us, thank God, he says, in all circumstances. Why? for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Amen.